Morning. Why is my phone is dim now? Okay, well, anyway, we had a great day yesterday. It was nice to see on the slideshow. I guess I didn't notice the first time that we had pictures of the homeowners on there, so that was good to see. We did a lot of great work for the two houses that we worked on yesterday. We built a fence, and we painted a couple fences, and did a little painting on a house. And we also planted flowers, spread mulch. We created at least one new flower bed. So we did a lot of good work yesterday, for sure. The homeowners were out there with us yesterday, and we had an opportunity to talk with them and even work with them. They pitched in as well. And I think they were real happy with the work that we did. We definitely blessed the neighborhood, our church and the other churches involved. Like last year, one thing I noticed was that a lot of the neighbors came out of their homes and were talking with one another as well as with the people from the church. And so hopefully that will build relationships and bridges in their neighborhood as well as between us and the folks there. This is the last year for Cool. They're moving on to do other things. And but that doesn't mean we can't keep doing it here at Church in the Falls. We also have a group called His Helpers, where we basically do Cool Day on much smaller scale all year round. So if you got the, I don't know, if you caught the fever of wanting to help, physically help people, you could talk to the folks involved with His Helpers. I think we'll be talking about that a little bit in the future. But I do want to thank everybody that helped yesterday do the work, everybody that helped financially, and also those of you that prayed for Cool Day and just supported us in general. I think it was a great, great day. I think we definitely demonstrated God's love to that neighborhood, and hopefully we'll keep it going. Thanks.
Steve. It was a great day, truly. I want to talk a little bit today kind of around that. The reality is that we're in a series where everything is individual. Each week is kind of a different topic. So today I want to take a little bit of time and discuss kind of a how and why we do the things we do. Why would we go out on a cool day, for example, yesterday? You know, if you remember one of the old Tim Hawkins skits where he talks about the testaments. You guys remember that? Remember the testaments? And he says, what's that like? You know, you give it, the guy comes up to you, he's like, oh, your breath smells fantastic. Tell me about this Jesus, you know. And he's kind of making fun of the thought that just because you have fresh breath is not going to bring someone to know the Lord. But it doesn't hurt, I guess. But the idea of thinking, why do we do what we do? What is our angle? How do we connect with people in order to do something? And there's a lot of ways that are not bad ways, but not necessarily really effective ways. Then there's some distinctively poor choices. And the skit guys want to remind us of one way that's kind of a bad way to share your faith. Go ahead and push play on that.
Sorry I'm late.
No, it's okay. We're glad you're here.
That coffee is hot.
Isn't that the worst?
Oh, I just burnt my tongue.
You know what? You think that's hot? You gotta try that burn, like 10 billion times worse, all over your entire body as you fall into the pits of hell because you haven't surrendered your life over to the will of Jesus Christ. Huh? That's a burn you won't get over. I saved you a cookie.
Maybe a less effective way to communicate important information. But you know, it raises some really good questions. How many times have you seen or experienced maybe something maybe not that extreme, but that made you go, ooh, I don't want to be a part of that. Or that smells funny. That smells like a cult or that, whatever. And you've all had your own experiences with that. Maybe you've been on the sending end of some of experiences like this where you went door knocking and you pushed too hard and you made a situation bad that wasn't really intended. It raises a really good question, though. Why do we do that? How do we do that? How do we get into that realm? And what I want to talk about today, the core of my message today, is the reason I'm in ministry. It's the reason I'm in the military. It is an incarnational understanding of what Jesus did. It's the only way to really do anything that's worth doing, whether it be faith-related or otherwise. The bottom line is we have to earn the right to speak. Period. That's it. Earn the right to speak. That's with anything. If you're going to tell someone about this great new coffee you found, I'm all ears. I love coffee. But most people, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to give me some subpar bean. I don't want to hear that. You got to earn it. Tell me why you should tell me this information. I need to know that I can trust it, right? You have to earn the right to speak with anything. But with issues of faith and life and death, all the more. And the reason things go so wrong is because we don't have the right. And that's really important. Things go wrong because we don't have the right. If we don't earn the right to speak, we are dead in the water. Again, with anything, but especially when it comes to matters of faith. And so I want to challenge you to think about the why of that. And the bottom line is, earning the right to speak is hard. We'd rather not do that. Wouldn't you rather just drive by and get one of those air guns, roll up a track and go, hit the front, I told him about Jesus and I'm moving on, right? I mean, that'd be so much easier. Because if I have to go and have a relationship, get to know someone, talk in terms that they understand, live out the message of Christ, nobody wants to do that. I got to turn the other cheek. I've got to suffer when people are rude to me and love them and pray for my enemy. I don't want to do all that. That's way too hard. But that's what it takes. Or you're phony. At the end of the day, what I want to challenge us to think about is why we do the things we do. Yesterday was an awesome day. We made a real impact in our community. People got to see a lot of neat things. And when people ask, well, why are you here? Well, we're trying to show the love of Christ. It's real simple. There's something back here funding what we're doing. And that's a real important connection. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you begin to care in ways that don't make sense, people notice. And then you begin to earn the right to speak. Because they're curious, what's funding that? Why are you doing this? What's your angle? If you're going to make money off of me, well, that makes sense. But if you're not going to make money, if it's not going to be good for you, why would you do that? There's got to be another funding source. That source is love, and it comes from God. And that is the thing we're really, truly bringing. But we have to earn the right to speak it. Think about this way. If you were to open a small business, let's say you're going to open up a food truck somewhere. And you go out into the world and you say, hey guys, y'all are awful cooks. You don't have any clue what you're doing. You don't even know how to make food. You ought to come check out my food. It's the real deal. How many people are going to come eat your food? One or two, because they want to challenge you, maybe? Right? If you just say, hey y'all, come over here because I got good food. They might come, but now they've got to take a risk. They've got to come all the way to your place, drive, get a parking space. They've got to spend money. They got to risk, because what if it's awful? I don't know you. You've not earned the right to sell me food. And I'm going to come risk? Why would I do that? Just to make you money. Now give me a free coupon, we're talking now. You're reducing my risk. Now I know your agenda is to show me how amazing your food is, so that I want to come back. That's a clear agenda, it's very legit. But it lowers my risk. You see how that's just common sense behavior. When we're talking about something like faith, if you don't have a really good information source of why you're doing it, because you're following the example of Christ, that Christ loved me first, therefore I will love you too. Simple things like that are really important. And I want us to kind of process through that. We can't go out into the world like a Westboro church, yelling and screaming. See, even if you're saying something right, you're saying something wrong. You miss it both ways. We have to go into the world with a different perspective. One that meets people where they are, and most importantly, earn the right to speak. And that takes work and time and effort and risk. Let me ask you, those of you, how many of you got to go to Cool Day yesterday? Got a good little number of people. Now let me ask you, if I were to say to you, hey, why did you go to do Cool Day? I mean, if you think about it on paper, I'm going to get up early on a Saturday. I'm going to go somewhere else and leave my yard alone to go work on someone else's yard. I'm going to bust my knuckles and get exhausted and tired for free. That's stupid. Right? That is not a good business plan. So why would we do such a thing? We can knock it back. Well, I want to tell them about Jesus. Really? Maybe. Do you know them? Why do you care if they know about Jesus? You got to go a step beyond that. Well, maybe I'm trying to be obedient to God because God loved me and He told me to love them. Maybe we'll get a little closer if you're in touch with that. Maybe, just maybe, you're concerned about what other church members would say if you didn't show up. Concerned about what God would say. Concerned about what other people would say. There's some pressure there. You start peeling back the layers. Why do you do what you do? Because at the end of the day, what we're asking people to understand is we're asking them to be open with a very uncomfortable situation. Earning the right to speak is saying, I want you to open up your brain and let me put something in there. And you got to trust me. People will not open up if you've not opened up first. Opening yourself opens other people. That's how it works. That's part of the earning. And it means you have to be vulnerable. It means you have to be real and normal. You have to get down to the real motivation of what's going on. Because if it's being a cool Christian, it's not going to serve you very well. Because it only takes you so far. If you're going to win the Volunteer of the Year award, it only takes you so far. If that's where you have to start, great. But that can't be the end of the journey. Why would we open up? And again, I think opening is a key thing. I think there's three major ways that we can open that will really be huge. First is an open door or an open hand. There's a resource and you provide it. Oh, you need a place to stay? Open the door. We're going to celebrate Barb Schray's life in just a little while after our meal today. And Bob and Barb Schray, they were known for their open door policy. In fact, I heard stories of police telling them to not have such an open door because it's dangerous. They're just open. They just, come on in. They would tell me, as my next door neighbor, they would say, hey, if you need a tool, we got them. Do you happen to have we got three or four of them. Come on down and grab one. Just take it back with you. They had an open door policy, an open hand. They understood that this stuff was not their stuff, it was God's. And they operated like that. The risk level went up. And then you have to ask the question, why would you do such a thing? What funds that kind of crazy behavior? It was the love of God way over here. They had learned it. They had earned it. And they earned the right to speak into my life. Many of you know exactly what that's like. They represent this first point so well. An open door, an open hand might also mean an open checkbook or an open calendar where we provide the resources that are needed. We reach into someone's life and provide it. And the only way to do that is the second part. That means we have to have open eyes and open ears. If you're not paying attention to what's going around, when we did Cool Day, there was a whole process where people would walk around the neighborhood and they would meet people and they would listen and they would talk and they would look and they would say, okay, I think and this is and God show us and we would listen. Where do you want us to go? And then God led that, organized it, and there it landed. Open eyes and open ears. We have to be that way. If we're not open eyes and open eared, then our open door and open hand will really be irrelevant because we'll miss it. We have to pay attention. Remember our belief system, bless. Here's the quiz. What does bless stand for? You guys remember? Be loving everywhere so someone sees. Remember? Matthew 6 is going out into the world and doing things so it brings honor and glory to God. Or listen, leaning in strategically. Remember to explore nuance. Listening, seeing, watching, pay attention. Realize that we're a focal point. We're a follower of Christ at large, pointing to God. We're always on stage. We have to have our ears and our eyes open because we know the world is watching. Their eyes and their ears are open. We have to have something to say. So being prepared for that, understanding that, will make our open door and our open hand much, much more effective. But I think at the end of the day, the one that funds it the most is an open heart and an open mind. If we don't have an open mind and can have honest discussions, if we don't have an open heart, that we are funneling love into the work. Because God loves us. And we marinate in that to a level that we can look at the world and say, you know what? I care about you. I don't even know you, but I care about you. And if God cared about me when I'm this worthless, the least I can do is understand what he sees in you. And I'm beginning to see it. That's an open heart. It's an open mind. It's leaning in to see people in their uniqueness, in their differences, and understanding and appreciating it. So here's the thing. If you have an open hand and an open door policy, and you're willing to give your resources, and you come to church every week, and you give a tithe, and you do all those great things, yay! And then you have this amazing open eyes and open ears, and you know the needs of the community, and you're paying attention, and you're talking to the mayor, and he's telling you what's going on, and you're aware, and you're providing the needs, and you're taking care of things. That is great, but guess what? When the rubber meets the road, if you don't have an open heart and an open mind, the gravy train will stop the minute it gets hard. Well, this is great and all, but whoa, I can't believe that person said that to me. Can you believe that? Man, there's first person. There's first service people. Man, they're so grumpy. Man, those second service people, they just look too happy for me. Right? We can quickly get in our sides if we're not understanding, because we may be providing what's needed, but if our heart is not open to it, if we're not being led by God at the core, we're going to miss the mark. You can count on that. God needs us, wants us, desires us to have an open heart. Let me share a little passage with you that kind of supports this. One of the things, this is my call to ministry, and I want it to be yours as well. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 5. Your attitude, say, I'm a your. Okay, I don't believe y'all. We're going to try it again. Say, I am a your. He's talking to you here. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. Now, what does that mean? Listen to this. Who being in the very nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to. It's like hanging from a building for dear life. I'm God, I don't want to give that up. He didn't do that, is what it's saying. But he made himself nothing. Taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient. And he became so obedient, he was obedient all the way to death. Remember the rubber meets the road part? You can't do that without funneling from something much deeper. Even death on a cross. Now remember how it started. Our attitude should be the same. What God is saying to us, I think what Paul is preaching, and what I want your call to ministry in life, if you are a Christian today, this is a mandate for you to live. Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. You can't maintain an open door, open hand, open eye, open ear policy unless you have an open heart and an open mind. That is what it's saying. Unless you get in touch with that part of you and understand that God is the one funding the crazy behavior, like waking up early on a Saturday to do work for someone else. That's crazy. Why? I have an open heart. God has loved me, and I want to love others. And this is what the opportunity, and therefore I go and do. If we can capture that, then when the rubber meets the road, and life gets hard, and things are tough, and that person says that mean thing, and stresses begin to mount on, here's what we know. I don't know why you're doing this, Lord, but you're still funding my open heart and my open mind. And I'm open-minded enough to know that it may not look the way I think it ought to should, but I trust you. And my heart is full of love simply because you have called me to it. Here's one of the dangers. See, if we don't understand this, then we can actually do more damage than good. A really scary yet powerful passage. Jesus is all in red in your Bible, if you got one of those kind of Bibles. In chapter 23 of Matthew, he's talking to religious leaders. So we, as Church in the Falls, if you're a Christian today, you are a religious leader. Did you know that? Because when you go into the world and there's someone who doesn't know Christ, you are the leader. That's just how it works. So imagine Jesus saying this to you. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. The members at Church in the Falls walk in Jesus' shoes. Okay? So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. You must listen to Church in the Falls because they know what's up. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. I don't want to hear that from Christ. How about you? And it gets better. It moves into brood of vipers. You're like a whitewashed tomb. You're all pretty on the outside, but inside you're nothing but dead men's bones. You snake, you. And he goes on and on and on. And at the end of this soliloquy, Jesus falls to his knees and weeps. That's pretty intense. You ever been chewed out by your boss at work? Imagine being chewed out by the Son of God. That's what's going on here. But there's a particular one I want to really draw your attention to. Verse 15, listen to this. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and interpret it for us. Woe to you, church in the falls, Christians. You hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when they become one, you make them twice the son of hell as you are. Ow, that stings. Can you feel that? Now, we have a great church here, and we do amazing things. And because of the lineage of great leaders like Bob and Barb Schrey, it's in our DNA to be funded by love. And that's a wonderful thing. What I want to ask you to do, though, is check that. Let's peel back the layers and remind ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? It's great that we fixed up a house over on the street, okay? Why did we do it? If we did it for any other reason other than God is funding our heart with love for the world, it may be a bumpy process, I get that. But if that is why we're doing it, we're on the right track. And when the rubber meets the road, we'll have what it takes to go forward. If we don't, then we miss it. And we make people twice the sons of hell as we are. That is sharp language. I want us to remember how big a deal this is. To be a Christian and to walk in the world and to just take it trivially is to damage things. It doesn't mean you got to be perfect. Remember, what God says is real simple. In chapter 25, the same book, he has this whole soliloquy where he talks about how there's goats and sheep. It's judgment day. And Jesus is standing there and he says, all right, guys, you over here, the sheep. I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was naked and you covered me. I was in prison and you came to visit. Well done. And they're like, when did we do that? When have you did it to the least of these? You did it unto me. Now, come on in. There's the open door policy. God says, come on in. And he embraces with a hug and welcomes us into our master's joy. Then he turns to the goats. Sorry, goats. And all the same stuff, but you didn't do it. They're like, if we'd have known, we would have. When you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. In another passage, he says, even a cup of water given in my name will not fail to lose its reward. God is not interested in grand gestures. God is interested in simple humility that is funded by an open heart and an open mind that leads to open ears, open eyes, open hands, and an open door policy. When we open ourselves to the world and risk, the world will reciprocate. If I walked up to you and I was like, hey, bring it in, what would you do? Most of you. You would probably be like, I guess we're hugging now, right? It would just be kind of natural. Because when you open yourself, people respond. That is what we're called to do in the world. Here's the same thing could happen. I go, hey, bring it in. And you punch you right in the stomach. And that could happen. Please don't do that. But you understand the vulnerability is there. That is what God has called us to do. And don't miss out. God is saying, I want you to do this in the world. And when you get to heaven, I'm going to welcome you with open arms, open door, hug you, bring you into the master. So the end cap is going to be the same thing on God's end. But guess what God already did first? Remember that little thing called the cross? Jesus is in a hugging position. Have you ever thought about that? He hangs on the cross, open, vulnerable, and welcoming in the most horrific, painful way possible. It's poetic, beautiful, brilliant, overwhelming, heavy. What it says is, God so loved you that he is willing to receive you, to accept you, to draw you in, to welcome and to love you. And he says, I just want you to go do the same to all those other people who don't know me. And I want you to do it by feeding them, by clothing them, by visiting them in prison, by loving them, by hugging them when they don't reciprocate, by giving them money from your open pocketbook, giving them time from your open calendar, open door, open hand, open ears, open eyes, all flowing from an open heart and an open mind. It is in that moment that we understand why we're here and what God has called us to do. It is doing the non-spiritual, spiritual work that really changes the world. And that's the good and the bad news. See, the bad news is nobody has an excuse. The good news is it's pretty easy. A cup of water. Who in here can offer a cup of water to someone who's thirsty? Everybody raise your hand, right? So you are primed and ready to do supernatural kingdom work by simply paying attention and offering what you have. To not do it is to say, oh, I can't lift my arm. Right? Just, you're going to get smacked down. That is what Jesus was doing to the Pharisees. Don't do what they do. They got all the right answers and they're doing nothing about it. You don't need to know the whole Bible. You don't need to quote scripture. You just need to be a good, decent person and give glory to God and let it be funded by an open heart and an open mind. Can you do that, church? Can we do that together? I want to invite you to think about it. This is a call to ministry. It's way beyond cool. It's at your work centers. It's at it's your school. Wherever you find yourself, there is an opportunity for you. All right, here's what we're going to do because we're out of time. I want to offer a word of prayer. And then we're going to all stand together and sing a song. And I'm going to dismiss you with a blessing. But if you would like to talk more about this or be encouraged or be prayed over by one of our prayer warriors, we have a really cool room right up the door to the left here called our prayer room. It's beautiful. You just go over there. There'll be a couple of, probably a male and a female waiting for you just to pray with you and encourage you. And if you want to speak with Michael and I or Jared, just come find us afterwards. But we want to be available to encourage you in your faith walk, to challenge you, to push you. Most importantly, to love you. All right, today when you leave, everybody needs to give a hug to somebody. And I want you to do it just like this. Bring it in, right? Everybody practice that way. Come on. Bring it in. All right, if you can do that, then you're ready for kingdom work. It's an open heart and an open mind. God bless you guys. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us and we love you. We thank you for all of your goodness and your patience and your kindness. Lord, I thank you that you love us so much that it catches us off guard, that it takes our breath away, and that it funds us loving the world, even when we don't understand it. I thank you for cool day and moments like that, where we have a moment to connect with someone in a very simple, need-oriented way. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to see that, to be funded by our heart and our mind. Lord, help us to have an open-door policy, like Bob and Barb, as a legendary figures in our church, Lord. Help that DNA to trickle to all of us, that we may, in your name, be loving everywhere so someone may see. I praise you, Lord, and I thank you for today. And I ask that your Spirit would descend upon us, Lord. Move us right now. Call us into account, Lord. Move us towards understanding you. Convict us of our sin. Illuminate what you're calling us to do. And give us the power to do it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing.
Somehow it frees me to open my hands up. and give you control. I've had plans shattered and broken. The things I had hoped in fall through my hands. You have plans to redeem and restore me. You go behind and before me. Oh, help me believe. You don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow it frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. Oh, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow it frees me to open my hands up and give you control. You want me, somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me. You want me, somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. And somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and the way it should go. Oh,
God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up. I give you control. I give you control. I want to give you control. I give you control. You want me. Somehow you want me. The King of Heaven wants me. So this world has lost its grip on me.
Be dismissed with this blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And may you, with each of us, with ever-increasing glory, reflect the Lord's glory, who is the Spirit. God bless you.
What will it be like when my pain is gone and all the worries of this world just fade away? What will it be like when you call my name in that moment when I see you face to face? I'm waiting. Well, all of heaven's angels crying out.